Hey, welcome everybody here. This week, I went camping. Anybody ever been camping? Yeah, lots of people. This is like a camping thing. So we go and live like a homeless person out in the wilderness for 4 days with somebody else's shower just so we can go and get close to some beautiful lake, which also doesn't make sense because I already live beside a beautiful lake. But anyways, we went camping. We went to Sebastian's. It was really fun and awesome. And I had a really good time. I don't know why we love to suffer, but it's something in our nature. But on the second day of camping, we decided to go down to the lake because that's what we do. We were at Good Spirit. And so we go down to the lake. And if you know anything about Tuesday was really windy. Like it was just blowing like crazy. And we decided, since we're smart, reasonable people, that we would let the kids take this like pizza floaty, out on the lake in the giant gale force winds blowing away from shore. And so they're out there swimming, things are going good, and finally they like fall off the floaty, which always happens, and it gets away, and all of a sudden the wind and the floaty starts bouncing around, and Tavian heroically tried to like grab it, but it's just out of his reach, and woof, it's blowing across the lake. And I think to myself, I'm gonna go get that floaty. So I hop on one of the kids' bikes, raise up the seat, and I start racing around the lake. So I go about a kilometer around the lake. I find some people, and I'm like, hey, have you seen a big pizza floaty? And they're like, we saw it. We almost got it, but it's like 10 kilometers that way. And so, buying right into the sunk cost fallacy, I decided to keep going. So I went back out to the trail. I biked like 8 kilometers around the other side of the lake, hiked over the dunes, got down to the beach, and I figured I'd start picking my way back down the beach to find this lost floaty. Now, at about that time, I realized that as soon as this floaty hits the shore, it's going to get tossed up in the sand dunes, and it's going to have more holes than the plot of the story the guards guarding Jesus' tomb told. Yeah, think about that one. And so I'm trying to like bring my bike along the beach, and I think, maybe I could just bike along the beach. Should be pretty easy. It's pretty hard, the sand, like right along the beach. And so I get on the bike and I'm biking along the beach. And this is when I discovered you can't bicycle on sand. It doesn't work at all. It's like the worst thing possible. It's like biking through cement. All right, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. I did tell the story for a point. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. And I told it without mentioning any of my kids by name, so it didn't even cost me any money. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Jesus has given us his Beatitudes. In Luke, it's a lot shorter than Matthew, but he has given us this picture of a life reoriented with a heavenly perspective, so it's not just focused on, so blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And so he reorients blessing from our present circumstances to an eternal perspective. He gives his big command, which is to love. And love not just your friends, but love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And you do this, you show mercy to others, because God is the one who has already shown you mercy in Jesus Christ. We're called to model the kind of mercy that we receive from God. Jesus ends with these two parables, the parable of the trees and the parable of the foundation. Now, this teaches, our actions are a product of our nature. Our actions are a product of our nature. And the promise of the gospel is not merely a ticket to heaven. And this is how it's been so often portrayed in Christian circles, especially revivalistic circles, that you come, you say, I believe in Jesus. I cry, Lord, Lord, I believe in Jesus. And you get your little ticket, certificate, and you are going to heaven. And that is what salvation is. Now it is that, but it's not just that. Because the gospel is a life transformation from the inside out that changes everything we do. It changes our very nature. And this is what Jesus is getting at here. This is really taught most clearly in the Old Testament when looking forward to the promise. Ezekiel 11, 19. And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Salvation is not merely a ticket to heaven, but it changes our very nature, which in turn changes what we do. I say that our actions are a product of our nature because Jesus' words here, and we're going to look at this closely, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now, the gospel radically reorients how we think about good people. We would generally think of this the opposite way. You're a good person because you do good things. Does a good thing here, that makes you a good person. But Jesus says, the opposite, good people do good things. The fact of being a good person has to proceed, your nature has to change before you are going to produce good things. Grapevines produce grapes. Now, they don't have to think about it. They don't have to strive to be like, today I'm just going to really produce grapes. I've talked to a grapevine, but they've never talked back to me, so it's not like we had a conversation. And grapevines produce grapes. It's just what they do. It is their nature. In the same way, the Christian heart, the new heart from the new birth, produces good things because the heart is changed in its nature. Good deeds for a Christian do not primarily come from striving against sin, but they come from a changed heart that has been born again by trusting in Jesus Christ. Now, this has to be the case because the kind of life that Jesus commands us to do, needs a changed heart. You get commands like Matthew 5, 21. You've heard it said of those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Now, have you ever tried, anger isn't something that you just like, okay, I'm going to go be angry today. It just comes upon you. All of a sudden you're angry because things aren't going how you want them to go. So if you are going to not be angry, you need to have a changed heart. Because avoiding murder might be a matter of self-control, but refraining from unjust anger requires a new heart. Now, let's say, our actions are a product of our nature. Just because who we are is a product, what we do is a product of who we are, we should never consider the process of becoming holy, or theological terms, sanctification, as something automatic. We don't just sit around and say, okay, I'm going to be sanctified someday. Because part of the miracle of the new birth is the striving. And so we're saved by God, by grace. We get a new heart. And the new heart, one of the things that's really important about the new heart, our changed nature, is that it strives against sin every day. And so it's not like it's not like it magically happens. But it's not like it's something that's a self-effort thing. It's a thing that the gift does of itself. The new heart strives against sin. As well as the fact that if sanctification were automatic, you know, why does Jesus constantly give us these commands and warnings? You know, these things are here to guide us, to help us defeat sin day by day. And in the Sermon on the Mount itself, Luke 6:40, everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. And this implies this is a growth that's going to take time in the Christian life. And really, I talk to lots of elderly people, it takes your whole life, because I still haven't met a Christian who's done sanctifying yet. Jesus then gives us a picture that is an interesting contrast to the one that we've just gotten. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them, that is, hears the words of Jesus, is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. This is such an interesting juxtaposition of two pictures, because in both we have a picture that represents two kinds of people: a good tree, a bad tree. The bad tree is like a bramble, the good tree is a fig tree. You look at those two trees, you can tell the difference. You go, you pick a thorn, and you're like, this is not an apple. Like, you know the difference. But then in the second picture, Jesus says, two houses. You might look at them, two houses like this. Both of these houses look the same. They're the same from the ground up. And so while the one picture was showing, you know, there's going to be a difference between the person who's really following me and the person who's not, in the second picture, he's saying, at times, it is going to look, both of these are going to look really similar. They're both houses, they're both built up. They both look the same, but there's a key difference. And the difference is not in the edifice, but the foundation. Now, this is right after, and I didn't read it, Luke 6:46. This is the key sentence here. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? And this is right after the Jesus in Sermon on the Mount. He's just told them, love your enemies, pray for those who abuse you. Jesus said these very, very hard things. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? There are many, and this is oh so true and oh so painful to preach. There are many who come into church, who sing the songs, who pray the prayers, perhaps even preach the sermons. They say, Lord, Lord. And just like these two houses, this person and the other person, they both look the same. Both come to church, are both doing the same kinds of things. One of them has a good foundation, and the other one is on the sand, sort of like my ill-fated bike ride. Maybe see where this is coming in now. These two Christians can look the same on the outside. They can go to church, they can sing the songs, they can volunteer. And yet one of them has been born again from the inside out. One of them is a good tree and the other one is not. Now this is a fact that this is one of my pet peeves about evangelistic literature that I see often. And they just like, okay, pray this prayer, say this thing, congratulations, you're a Christian now. And I'm just like, No, you've missed something here. I mean, this is how you become a Christian, but the key ingredient isn't exactly saying the prayer. It is God's Spirit coming upon you, anointing you and blessing you and causing you to have a new heart, to see life differently, to be changed from the inside out. That's why we don't just hand out tracts, but we pray. And that's why we don't just say people to say a prayer, we say come to church, and so we can hear Jesus' words like this that hopefully are going to convict and going to change. Now, if you're getting a little uncomfortable at this point, good, I'm getting uncomfortable too. The plain fact is Jesus said there were going to be those who called on his name, Lord, Lord, and not be saved. Now, if that is true, we should examine very closely what Jesus is talking about. Jesus gives us some simple advice on how to examine yourself. One, Luke 6:45. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. What is in your heart will come out. Now, some people are better at hiding it than others, quiet people especially, which is why I don't trust quiet people. Really, Lappy, you can figure out what's... But we're all pretty good at kind of keeping things inside, you know, especially, you know, we can keep to ourselves pretty good right now. But what is inside will eventually come out. And I'm always really convicted about this, you know, if I've, confession here, occasionally I am unjustly grumpy with my wife. I'm just sort of like harsh in how, like, she's like, can I do this? Could you help with the kids a little bit today? Since you've just been in the office and I've been like dealing with them all day, and I'm just sort of like, okay, I won't rehearse all of this because it makes me look bad. But I'll say something, and I'll say something kind of snippy, and then she'll get mad, you know how the whole thing goes, and we're just like grumpy at each other, and then I'll just be like, and I'll say these words, dear, I didn't mean that. In one sense, it's true. Not all of me meant that. And yet, that angry word, that came from my heart. That was produced from my heart. That was a real thing. It wasn't just an imaginary thing that we all dreamed about and went on. It was a real thing. Good person at a good treasure produces good. And yet, none of us are all good or all bad. If you have a consistent pattern of angry, evil, gossipy words, this reveals what your true nature is. And if this is you sitting here today, well, we're going to get some advice soon. Second, hardship proves the strength of the foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. This is talking about kind of a dry stream bed, which they'd have in Israel. In fact, it's just like the stream right over there. You go over there, you could hike up the whole thing today and not get your feet wet. And yet, if we got 2 inches of rain, there'd be a huge raging torrent here. And people would build their houses, you know, near where there's water. And so you build your house up there, and the person who didn't build it on a foundation, it's going to be gone when the storms come. And Jesus says, in the same way, in our Christian life, there are going to be lots of people looking good, standing strong, when they're smooth sailing, when nothing's going wrong. But hardship proves the foundation. When the streams come, when you have to undergo suffering, when you have to undergo a cost for following Christ, that is going to show who the real disciples are. So, advice. We need to dig deep into the gospel. Everyone needs the gospel. Everyone. We are saved not because of works done in righteousness, but according to God's own mercy. And it's never about first what we do, but who we are in Christ. We need to be different. We need to be good trees. And so if we're not, we need to receive God's gift of salvation. And then, as we trust in Jesus alone for salvation, we need to learn to act according to our nature. And this is where the wise man really helps us. Everyone who comes to me, come to Jesus, hears my words, hear his words, and does them. So hear his word now, Monday or Sunday afternoon, go and actually do them. Don't just come and hear. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And here's the picture that Jesus gives us, that if you're going to be a disciple that endures, you're going to dig deep. Digging is hard. I don't know if you've ever seen a house being built. They spend weeks, you know, digging the foundation, laying the foundation, putting the cement down, and then pop, 2 days, it might take 3 weeks to do the foundation, in 2 weeks or 2 days, you can have a walls and roof on that thing, and it looks like a whole house. Walls, roof are easy. Foundation is hard. In the same way, to be a disciple, we need to dig deep into God's word. This is hard. It takes effort. It takes time. Day by day, learning. And we need to have a foundation that is on the rock. We need to dig deep on the rock of Jesus Christ, who is the only foundation of our faith. We can work all we want in the sand. We're never going to get a foundation there, but it needs to be dug deep on the rock. Finally, how to have assurance. So, I hear all these words from Jesus, Lord, Lord, and I'm afraid I'm not saved. How can I really have assurance of faith? So while trying to wake perishing people up to the reality of their situation, Jesus gives true believers assurance in these verses, and we've already seen them. One, our actions show our changed nature. Now, this might not be comforting to you because you're like, my actions right now are kind of a mess. Well, okay, go fix that. Or, you know, go back to the gospel. But what you should really sit and think about for a moment is think about your life before you were a believer. Or maybe if you came to Christ at a young age, think about it when you were, think about your life before you took Christ seriously. And does your heart respond differently to things? Does it respond to people in love instead of anger? Does it care for the less fortunate? Well, take heart. A good tree produces good fruit. And secondly, the flood proves the foundation. In this Christian life, when you've gone through trials, you've gone through heartbreak, when you've gone through suffering physically, when you've come through all of that and you just feel like you're hanging on to Christ by your pinky finger and you're still dragging yourself back here and you come to the realization that you know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is holding on to you because you would have walked away long ago, that's when you know, yes, the flood has proved the foundation. I'm still with Christ. He's still with me. My assurance is my salvation is eternally secure because he's never lost one from his hand and he's holding me still. The Christian life is often hard, but Jesus promised he would be with us to give us an easy and light burden. And he commanded us not just to suffer with him, but to run the race with joy. Our salvation was not meant to be like my ill-fated bike ride. You know, pedaling endlessly against the sand, just sort of digging in deeper and deeper. And sometimes when we run across verses like this, we see Jesus commanding, you know, build the house on the rock. And we just think to ourselves, I need to work harder. Now, that is true in a sense, but it's the kind of hard work that Jesus is peddling, that you're running the race by grace. And so I think like me, and this is what I did, eventually I was biking along and I look out across the lake and there's a giant thunderstorm coming. And I say, being alongside the lake is a bad idea right now. So I go up over the dunes like there's no path anywhere. And down the dunes and into a kind of swamp with like lots of raspberry bushes, and it's scraping my legs and such. And then the storm comes and there's lightning and the wind's blowing and all the half-dead trees are like almost falling over. But eventually, I make it back to the path, the hard path. And this is, I think, the calling for us. If you're just striving against the wind, you need to lay your burdens down. Look to Jesus as your author and perfecter of the faith. Get on the path of Jesus Christ's grace, knowing he's paid it all. And when you follow him, digging deep like that, it will be a hard road. It'll be like my bike on a hard road. It'll be easy, even as you're going through the storm. And eventually, when you look back at it all, you think, wow, God was with me the whole way. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are with us no matter what. We pray that if we're here and maybe we've just said, Lord, Lord, and it hasn't really gone to our heart, we would repent and trust in you for salvation again. We wouldn't just dig in harder, but we would lean harder on you. Guide us and renew us. Open our eyes to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.